From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. In Iraq today, President Jalal Talabani made news with this statement.
God willing, the Iraqi forces will gradually be in charge of security in all the provinces by the end of this year.
Optimistic words about a difficult situation. Just last week, President Bush announced that the U.S. would be sending more troops to Baghdad to secure the capital. General Peter Pace, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, expanded on the Iraqi president's remarks at a briefing today at the Pentagon.
Most of the work inside the city and on the streets would be performed by Iraqi army and Iraqi police, backstopped with the strength of the Striker Brigade, for example. And over time, we'll be able to have the U.S. force that's been extended come home and have the Iraqis, as they want to do, and as President Talabani said today, step forward and take over more responsibility.
That has been the line from the Pentagon and the White House for some time. U.S. troops will be able to leave as Iraqi forces are ready. But after 3 years of training and billions of dollars spent, it is still American troops that are key to securing much of the country. NPR's John Hendren traveled to the northern city of Kirkuk to check in on the training of Iraqi security forces.
So you want to field an army. First, you need troops. Let's say you've got a line of jobless Iraqis willing to brave car bombs, mortars, and sniper fire for a soldier's paycheck. Now you need equipment. Well, the U.S. military is footing the bill for AK-47s and Humvees. Next, you need trainers. Well, why not the best?
Now lift up the weapon. Put it against your shoulder. Lean into it. Squeeze and you'll feel it.
The man with a Boston accent is a team sergeant for the Green Berets, the elite Army Special Forces, so secretive we've agreed not to disclose even their first names. The Green Berets are best known for their combat skills, but their primary mission since 1952 has been training foreign militaries. The Iraqi Army has always had plenty of generals and foot soldiers, but few decision makers in between, so the first problem is finding good mid-level leaders, the lieutenants, captains, and senior enlisted men able to lead the troops on the ground. Just ask Lieutenant General Martin Dempsey. He's the top American commander in charge of training Iraqi security forces.
Leadership is not an issue. Leadership is the issue. The constant development of leaders is both necessary and is also the most time-consuming part of the endeavor.
So this Green Beret team in Kirkuk created what they call a Scout Leaders Course for the local Army Division. It's based on the Army's Rangers School. The Nisr course, the name means eagle, is a month-long training regimen for the cream of the Iraqi crop, the soldiers designated by their leaders as the pride of Kirkuk. The trainees seem proud to be selected, but getting them here is a problem. In the new Iraqi army, no one is AWOL. Troops can quit any time they like, and they take a week off every month or two to bring home their pay. So absenteeism is strikingly high by American standards. This course is no exception. It can handle 60 troops. This month, half that many arrive on day one. Another 11 quit as soon as they hear what's coming. Four more flunk the medical screening. So instead of 60, there are 15 soldiers. When they arrive, the Special Forces team sergeant says they're shell-shocked.
They think it's like a gentleman's course. And when they start getting yelled at and everything, like no sleep, food deprivation, they don't want to play. Then they got some guys come in for the paycheck, and they're like, I didn't sign up for this.
The course is designed to weed out about 30% of the trainees. And since this class is already short, the Green Berets tell the Iraqi commanders there will be no course without more troops. So the commanders, who themselves have only about 80% of their authorized numbers, rustle up more Iraqi soldiers and bring the class back to 32. It's about half what the Green Berets had hoped for, but this is Iraq, and allowances must be made. The next problem is apparent when they arrive in class. Six out of a class of 32 cannot read or write. Sergeant Horace Bullock, 101st Airborne Division soldier who's helping the Green Berets, says that's typical.
Most of them can't read and write or anything, so it's a little bit harder to teach them everything.
That doesn't make it impossible. The valedictorian of the last class was illiterate. Then there is the problem of fitness. In the dusty desert outside Kirkuk, sand-colored camel spiders the size of salad plates are often the only things moving in summer temperatures topping 120 degrees. It's the kind of heat that turns the brim of your hat white with salt. Parking a rifle in the sun means burning your hand later. So jogging, for most Iraqis, is out. In fact, fitness falls somewhere below sunbathing in order of priority. A stream of cigarette smoke emanates intermittently throughout the day from most of the Iraqi troops. That is until they get here and discover they're going cold turkey. Even the Iraqi trainers agree that Iraqi soldiers fall well below American fitness standards. Basic calisthenics, push-ups and sit-ups, is a problem. The Green Berets adjust, cutting the 2-mile run and the Army fitness test in half. It's often still too much. One hefty Iraqi soldier gets through the push-ups and sit-ups, but after about 10 minutes of jogging outside, he collapses. Back in class, the Iraqi soldier vomits into a box he holds on his lap. He needs help to walk out of the room. Doc, all military medics are called Doc, says the Iraqi shows clear signs of heat exhaustion. Doc takes his pulse. It's so weak that even the tough-talking Special Forces medic scolds the instructor.
Come on, I'm a hard ass, but I'm gonna kill people here.
And Doc's no squeamish nursemaid. This is a guy so unblinking that he sawed off the foot of a badly wounded student after a bombing the week before. Here's how he arouses the sick Iraqi soldier.
Get up!
All this might sound harsh, but Saif, a 26-year-old Iraqi soldier, says the training was far more perilous under Saddam.
When Saddam was in power, I was in the army. We used to do things similar to the special force training. During live fire training, a casualty rate of 5% was expected.
The problems the Green Berets see in the elite training course, with attrition, literacy, and fitness, are magnified elsewhere in the Iraqi forces. But just being Iraqis means that these trainees come with a surprising level of combat experience. Just take this classroom exchange between Doc and a student.
Guys who get their legs or arms cut, they're not bleeding for a while until we get them to the hospitals.
Right. Remember what I said. When you cut a vein or an artery, it retracts and it doesn't bleed much. But after a few minutes, it loosens up and then it starts bleeding like a lot.
Their combat experience, however, does not make them leaders. The Special Forces team sergeant, the team's father figure, says they teach the young soldiers to do something the Iraqi army discouraged under Saddam Hussein. Take the initiative.
We want the command to energize the soldiers, so it's not us. It's not the Americans saying, hey, which is more important than me, Mr. Crackerman, a foreigner. They all know we're going to leave.
After a couple weeks of fitness training and classwork, the trainees hit the firing range. When they arrive, many are from what the Green Berets call the Inshallah School of Marksmanship. Fire from the hip, and God willing, you'll hit something. The Special Forces captain says some trainees fired only a handful of rounds in the old Iraqi army.
The fact that before they fired from the hip without using their sights and couldn't hit anything at 10 meters away, now they're using their sights and they're hitting objects at 100 to 200 meters away. It's a remarkable change.
Every Iraqi soldier has a war story. Still, for $300 a month, they come, and most remain. But U.S. Training Chief Lieutenant General Martin Dempsey says money alone can't be the prime motivator.
We know for a fact that if they were to go to the other side and plant an IED, they could probably make $300 planting a single IED. I mean, they'll be in line to be recruited, and a suicide vest guy will make his way in, blow them up, and they'll care for the wounded and move them out and sweep up, and then they get back in line.
At the end of the course, the Special Forces trainers say these Iraqis are more fit, but they won't make the cover of Muscle and Fitness, and many will never be able to read Moby Dick. Yet even now, as they prepare to wrap up their third month-long training course, the Green Berets say they've seen progress. The course has moved from an American base in Kirkuk to an Iraqi base called K-1. Soon, possibly within 6 months, the Americans hope to turn over the training entirely to the Iraqis. John Hendren, NPR News.